Last Sunday we began in telling about the movie Courageous. We saw that movie back at the beginning of February, if I remember correctly. It was our movie for then. And after that movie, Brian made a comment about how they had made this this declaration, this resolution, and signed this resolution to be godly fathers in their families. And so Brian made the comment, says, why can't we do that as a church? And so that's what he and I began focusing on and said, you know, I told him that's a great idea. Let's make it happen. And so that's where we are. Last week we began in this, and the goal is for us to be focusing on being a courageous church and being courageous Christians, all right? So it's not just for dads, it's for all of us in our lives with Christ. Courageous Christians, a courageous church. We have a resolution, and I've got that up here. We'll tell a little bit more about that in a little bit. But we put together a resolution. But understand, and everybody should have had a copy of that. We gave those out last week. There are more copies in the back. You'll get another copy today before you leave if you want one. But understand, this resolution is not about a human creed. It's not new stuff. It is not new revelations. It's not a confession of faith. That's not what this is all about. This is simply taking biblical principles and applying them specifically to our lives as Christians and challenging us to commit to living the way that God calls upon us to live. So it is a call to this commitment. All right. So I want you to be thinking about that aspect of it, because when we finish this morning, you'll have opportunity to sign the resolution to make this commitment. It's about being a truly committed follower of Jesus, not a fan. We talked about how Jesus does not want a fan club. That's not what he's about. He wants true, committed followers to him. Okay? And last week we began with looking at the first five points on this resolution. We started, though, understanding that we have the privilege to be called children of God. God gives us that privilege, and what a great privilege it is to know that we belong to him and we are his children. We talked about the first five resolutions, the first one being, I will seek to honor God, be faithful to his church, obey his word, and do his will. Are you committed to doing that in your life? The second one, I will no longer simply be a fan of Jesus, but will be a true follower of Christ. Will you commit yourself to that? I will deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow Christ with the understanding that crosses were made to die on. In other words, I'm committing myself to be willing to die for Jesus. Okay? I will no longer be content to just believe in Jesus, but will take him at his word, believing him. In other words, do I look at the promises that God has made, and I truly believe him when he makes those promises, and will live my life according to that belief. Okay? And then the fifth one, I will allow his word to transform me into the image of Jesus as it pierces me and judges the thoughts and attitudes of my heart. Being a Christian in so many ways is all about being transformed more and more into the image of Jesus. And are we committed to allow him to transform us into what he wants us to be? Are you willing to make that commitment? Okay? So, this morning we're going to look at the other five, the last five on this resolution. Okay? So the first one, I will allow God to mold and shape me for his purposes, letting go of my own wants and desires. Again, if we're to be transformed to be like Jesus, that requires some molding and shaping on the part of God. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He says, what then is Apollo and what is Paul? They are servants through whom you believe. And each, I'm trying to see if I can read that up there. And each has the whole has the role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Some of your translations say increase. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Look at this next part. Now the one planting and the one watering are one in purpose. One in purpose. Do we recognize that that purpose is God's purpose? You say, each will receive in his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's co-workers. Understand that it is all about God's purpose, not ours. Sometimes I see a lot of us, we end up struggling with the idea of what we want and how we want things to be. And I've seen that destroy families. I've seen it destroy churches because they have their own purpose that is in conflict with God's. We need to submit to God's purpose. Look at what he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything, and look at this, in conformity with the purpose of his will. God works out the things that need to be worked out in conformance with his purpose. Okay, not ours. In chapter 3, verse 11, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ. Jesus, where do you get the point? It's all about his purpose, not ours. We've got to stop letting our purposes get in the way of his. You see? And allow him to use us for what he wants to use us for. Therefore, my dear children, or my dear friends, rather, Paul wrote in Philippians 2, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. You hear that? God working in you. To do what? Okay? For to will and to act according to his good purpose. So in other words, it's submitting to God and allowing him, his Spirit, to work in you so that his purposes will be accomplished. Okay? Isaiah wrote, we are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. And so again, it's how willing are we to let God mold us and shape us to accomplish his purposes. Are you willing to make that commitment? The next one, I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a child of God. We've talked a little bit before about how important our daily walk is. Okay? What about the mistakes? We need to learn from the mistakes. Okay? We all, at least most of us, make mistakes. I made a mistake one time. One time I thought I was wrong, and I wasn't. Okay, I got your attention, right? Okay? But we all make mistakes. Mistakes are a part of life. And sometimes, as we were talking about this morning with Jesus, it's a part of learning and growing, right? Okay? But we have to have the right attitude about the mistakes that we make. And this attitude is not really the best one to have, okay? They say that we learn from our mistakes. That's why I'm making as many as possible. I'll soon be a genius, okay? That's not the right approach to mistakes, okay? The idea is to try not to make mistakes, but learn from the ones that we do make so that we don't keep making them over and over again. Are we willing to really be humble enough to listen and to learn from the mistakes that we make in our lives? James tells us about the importance of being able to help one another overcome the mistakes, the sins that we make. Look at what he says. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. You see, it's two things here. Number one, it's realizing that when we sin, we're putting our soul in jeopardy. And when we rescue someone who is caught up in sin, and that's what he's talking about here, we're saving that person. person's soul. Okay? We've talked about this scripture before. Okay? Here's two things I want to really emphasize to it. Look at what he says. Paul talking about the scripture, the Word of God, says that all scripture is God-breathed, and he says it is useful for, and he talks about teaching, but he also talks about rebuking and correcting, okay, as well as training in righteousness and so forth. So we need to, for this particular part of the resolution, to focus on the rebuking and correcting part. That's what God's Word is useful for in terms of getting us back on track. That when I realize that I've messed up, that I'm willing to listen to someone to share the Word and correct my behavior so that I can be what God wants me to be. You see? And that's part of the reason that God gave us His Word. Are you willing to commit to allowing that to happen in your life? Okay? A wise man said, "He who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray." You see, this part of the commitment really is about how willing am I to take correction and instruction and be able to realize that maybe I've not been doing what I need to be doing, and somebody shows me the right way or what have you, that I'm willing to do that rather than get upset and I'm not going to talk to you anymore or whatever the case may be. How willing are you to listen to God's Word? Are you willing to make that commitment? Okay? Because the Apostle Paul tells us about the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Worldly sorrow basically is that where we talk about sometimes where someone's sorry because they got caught. Mm-hmm. You see? They're not really sorry. Godly sorrow is true repentance. It's truly wanting to turn from what I've been doing to what God wants me to do. Mm-hmm. And Paul says that brings life. Am I committed to that kind of life, okay? And then also our walk. We mentioned that walking in integrity is part of this resolution. We talked about what John says in 1 John 1, 5 through 7, where he talks about us walking in the light. There's only one of two places you can walk. It's either in the light or in the darkness. There's no gray areas, there's no shadows or anything. It's one or the other. And if we claim to have fellowship with God yet walk in the darkness, he says, we lie. The truth isn't in us. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with God. Okay? And the blood of His Son purifies us from all sin. We need to be looking at our daily walk. You see? And ask the question, am I walking with integrity? Am I walking in the light? Okay. So the next one, I will forgive those who have sinned against me and seek forgiveness from those I have wronged. Again, this is a both ways thing. This is, I mess up, I need to go to who I messed up with and ask them to forgive me. And I need to be willing to forgive those who have hurt me in one way or another, you see. So, the Apostle Paul tells us two passages here that I really want to focus on a second. First of all, to the Ephesian church, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another. That's talking about us, okay? The one another is us, okay? All right? Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So in the same way that Christ forgave you of your sins, you need to forgive one another. Amen. Okay? Now look at this next one, okay? Where he says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Well, you know that the idea of bearing with someone implies that maybe this is a difficult person. Okay? You ever had to deal with someone like that? Maybe you are that person. Okay? That people have had to bear with you. It's really the idea that sometimes, you know, and any of us can find ourselves in a situation where life's just not working, and and we're just kind of difficult to deal with right now. And so he uses that terminology, bear with one another. No, just put up with each other. Rather than just nitpicking about every little thing that someone does. You see, bear with each other. It also implies that we're all going to mess up from time to time. We're going to get on each other's nerves. We're going to do things, that are not the right thing to do. Bear with each other. Put up with one another. But mostly forgive them as the Lord has forgiven you. Why? Because of these words of Jesus. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. That is a promise from God. It goes back to one of the other resolution parts of this resolution. Do we believe Him? See? If we truly believe what He's saying right here, then forgiving other people will not be an issue for us. It will not be a problem. All right? The next one, I will work diligently to support the church with my attendance, financial contributions, and personal involvement. You know, we have oftentimes here talked about the idea that we do not have any non-participating memberships in this church. Okay? That everyone is expected to be part of and involved in the work. Unfortunately, for most churches, and this has been this way long before I ever got into ministry, there is what is referred to as the 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
Okay? And what that rule is all about, and this is not just in our brotherhood, this is churches, any denomination of church will tell you, the preacher will tell you the same thing. 80% of the work is typically done by 20% of the people.
Amen.
You see? And oftentimes we refer to that 20% as the core. You see? And brethren, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way at all. It's God does not allow non-participating memberships in His church. There's no such thing in the Bible. You see? So this is a commitment to us being personally involved, financially supporting the work of the church. We've talked about that many times. You see? Because, you know, we live in a world where money is necessary to do the things that we need to do. So are we committed to financially supporting the work of the church? And sometimes people kind of lose sight of the importance of this. Just simply committed to attending. You see? From a preacher's perspective, it's tremendously discouraging to get up before a congregation when you know you got a whole bunch of people and only a handful are usually there. You see? And the writer of Hebrews tells us we need to be meeting together. You see? So we encourage one another. So that's what this part of this resolution is all about. It's supporting the congregation, the Lord's church, in all of these different ways. Look at what Paul writes to the Ephesian church. Several frames on this. We get this. I want you to get the whole nature of what he's saying here. He's talking about the church, okay, and what the Lord has done in setting up His church. He says, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay? So he's given us all of those different positions, so to speak, but his purpose is so that the church can be built up by everybody doing the works of service. So the works of service aren't just for the preacher and the elders and the deacons. It's for everybody. What, we lost our signal there somehow. Oh, did we lose the signal from the thing in the lobby there? Okay. Well, if we don't get that back up, we can just do it the old-fashioned way as we finish up. Oh, here we go. Here we go. All right. Until we all reach unity in the faith. See, I'm always prepared. So in case that thing goes out. until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then, all right, when that's happening, we will no longer, implies that that has been happening, doesn't it? We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. In other words, those who are teaching false doctrines, we're not going to fall prey to that because we're growing in the knowledge of Him. Okay? Okay. I don't know what's going on with this thing, but anyway. Instead, look at this. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. And then verse 16, notice this. From Him, the whole body, okay, the whole thing, not just parts of it, but the whole body, joined and held together, all right, by every supporting ligament. We're having some difficulties the last 2 weeks, haven't we?
I didn't break it this time.
Okay. Held together by every supporting ligament. It's gone again. You just have to do it the old-fashioned way. Builds itself up as each part does its work. Okay? And that's the really important part, that each part, each one of us, are we committed to each one doing what God has given us to do? We have those of us who are preachers, those of us who are elders, those of us who are deacons, those who are teachers. We even got those who are secretaries, those who are custodians. There's work for everybody to do here. You see? And the commitment that we're asking for is, are you willing to do what the work that God gave you to do? Okay? The body, Paul says, to the Corinthian church is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. He's talking about the church. Okay? But in fact, he says in verse 18 of this same passage, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wants them to be. And that's really important. Because in this passage, he's talking about the fact that not everybody can be an eye, and not everybody can be a foot, and everybody is needed. Okay? But understand that God is the one who designates which parts we are and gave each part what He wants that part to be. And then notice what he says. What is the problem with this thing, Tom? I'm wondering if that antenna in there is falling over again. Yeah, the one that's up there in that. Because that seems to be what's happening. It's losing the signal there. Okay. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should, look at this, have equal concern for each other. See? That we look around at one another and we truly care and are concerned about each other. Alright? If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Okay? When we're working together, recognizing the importance of each part of the body, then we're able to do and accomplish God's purpose and His will. Alright? I will attempt, this is the last one here, I will attempt to prepare as many as I can in my Jerusalem for the coming of the Lord. This is the last point on our resolution. The Apostle Paul, in writing in the text that we read this morning as we began, talking about the fact that God has reconciled us to Himself and He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, that's our job. Okay, that God is reconciling the world to Himself. Right? He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. In other words, He gave us that message, and He intends for us to take it to the world. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors. Okay? We're the spokespeople for God. All right? As though God were making his appeal through us. That's what ambassadors do. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. All right? Mm-hmm. Peter, we find in writing about the day of the Lord and what's going to happen when the Lord comes back again. Tells us, first of all, that the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Right? That's what's going to happen when the Lord comes back again. Right? And then he asks this question. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? And then he answers that question this way. He says, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day and speed its coming. Okay? So, Peter in that passage is calling on us to prepare for the day of the Lord by doing these three things. First of all, to live holy and godly lives. Are you committed to doing that? Okay, that's part of this resolution. All right. The second one is to look forward to that day. Are you looking forward to the day the Lord comes back again?
Oh, yeah.
You say? And then to speed its coming. And we've talked about this many, many times. How is it that we can speed the coming of the Lord? Well, it's really a matter of trying to get to the point where everyone who is going to be saved is saved. Because I'm convinced by what the Bible tells us that that's when the Lord's going to come back in. In other words, there's no one else who is going to accept the Lord. No one else is going to be saved. There's no reason for him to wait. And so we can speed his coming by sharing the gospel with as many people as we possibly can, to at least give them the opportunity to decide whether they want to follow Christ or whether they want to reject him. Okay? The quicker we get to that point where everyone is saved, that will be saved, the sooner the Lord returns. That's really, that's what speeding his coming is all about. Okay? So each and every one of us are called then to share the saving message of the gospel with everyone in your Jerusalem, your Judea, and your Samaria. Okay? It's taking it to the people in your life, in your world, and give them the opportunity to be saved. It's not up to us to make sure people obey the gospel and try to force them. It's up to us to give them the message. Okay? Okay. Courage, we saw last week, doesn't come from an absence of fear, but an abundance of faith. You get courage to do what God wants to do, even though we may be afraid. Okay? But we have the faith that presses us on. And one of the things also we talked about with this last week, you got to make a choice. Okay? You can either be comfortable or courageous, but you can't have both. And this resolution is calling on us to stop trying to be comfortable in our lives, in our relationship with God, but to be courageous. Okay? To be strong and courageous, as the Lord called upon Joshua as he led the Israelite people. Okay? Now, we have an opportunity for an invitation that we always do for anyone that has a prayer request or a need that you would like for us to address. And again, for anyone who is not yet a Christian, if you want to give your life to Christ, you can do that. I think everybody that's here in this room right now with us physically is a Christian. But there may be someone out there who's worshiping with us online that's not yet a Christian. If you desire to become one, all you got to do is let us know. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, then you call upon him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. In order to do that, all you got to do is call us, text us. You can text Wesley or myself while we're doing this invitation song, and we will arrange whenever is possible with you to have you baptized into Christ if you're ready to make that commitment. All right? So we have that opportunity. If there's anything that we can do for those of you who are here, then let us know while we're singing this song. Wesley, come on up and lead us. Let's stand together.